Psychotherapy is proverbially less successful than other branches of medicine. A large part of the reason for this is that its standards of success are poorly defined. This means that it is not only difficult for there to be clear determinations of the effectiveness of psychotherapy, but, more importantly, therapists do not have clear therapeutic targets. But there is, in fact, a very well-defined benchmark in terms of which the success of a given course of therapy can be evaluated. Is the patient now launched on a career that works for him? In other words, does the patient now have a career that is both remunerative and fulfilling? Of course, there are cases where people who already have careers that work for them go into therapy. But much of the time, probably most of the time, this is not the case. And when it is not the case, the therapist has a clear therapeutic target, and he has a unifying principle in terms of which he can organize his therapeutic efforts instead of wasting his own time and the patient's in various ad hoc analytic constructions that don't add up to anything of therapeutic significance. Also, nothing does more to reinforce psychopathology than the absence of a fulfilling career or of the personal objectives that come with such a career. And nothing does more to eliminate the external stressors that inflame psychopathology than having such a career. Also, if the patient is launched on a career that works for him, either because he entered therapy already so launched, or because the therapist got him launched, therapeutic benchmarks naturally coalesce with the patient's professional benchmarks. If the patient's professional objective is to design a machine that does X, Y, and Z, then it can be, and I suggest, should be the therapist's objective to help him design such a machine. Or, granting that the therapist should not micromanage the patient's life, it should be the therapist's objective to help eliminate the emotional resistances that are making it impossible for the patient to invent such a machine. And in this way, the therapist's objectives are made concrete, and he has a well-defined goal that will help him know what about the patient is worth analyzing, and also how it should be analyzed. And the legitimacy of therapeutic interpretations can to some extent be verified by the extent to which they help the patient achieve his professional goals. So long as the patient has no career, he has no reason to get rid of his psychopathologies. The very purpose of psychopathology is to insulate people from grim realities, one of the grimmest being not knowing what to do with one's life. By the same token, if this particular grim obstacle has been surmounted, the patient's psychopathologies will have that much less of an emotional basis. To be sure, there is more to adequately psychoanalyzing someone than getting him launched in a career that works for him. But doing this is necessary to successfully analyze someone, and it is almost, though not quite, sufficient. Mental illness is about withdrawing from the world. Getting over mental illness is about re-engaging the world. And there is no way of engaging the world that is as significant as having a meaningful career. And this fact should do more in the way of orienting therapeutic efforts than it has done thus far. And this insight is the basic tenet of structural analysis.